So you all basically bullied me into doing metta. And I'll do it, but I'm furious. I'm happy. Happy to be practicing with you, of course. So, so sometimes say these Brahma Viharas, these divine abodes, these kind of places for the mind to rest, these places for the attention to default to. They actually become kind of resting places. Normally we rest in self-referential thinking and worry, but we can come to rest more in these Brahma Viharas and different ways of characterizing it, but I like to say that metta, loving kindness, metta is love meeting goodness. Compassion is love meeting suffering. Sympathetic joy, mudita, is love meeting happiness. And equanimity is love meeting the endless, ungovernable nature of samsara. And I would add that maybe forgiveness is love meeting harm. Not in a way that condones harm, but love meeting harm. And and so kind of love is the theme here, but it can be a very quiet kind of love. And the practice requires quite a lot of fluidity and innovation and exploration. So what is actually, what's a useful doorway for you into the heart? It's a useful doorway. And for me, it's often been actually a sense of specifically reflection on mortality, the finitude of my life, of all lives, of all life. And it's been something about trying to take that into my heart that is the kind of gateway that then makes everything so poignant. And so metta, maybe it begins just by, or maybe this is its culmination, I don't know, but it's kind of just being moved by your own goodness. Being moved by it. So something softening. And sometimes it may be useful to consider what the Dalai Lama or some being like the Dalai Lama would see if they were sitting right in front of you, looking right into your eyes. And first consider all the things they would not see, they would never be looking for in the first place. When somebody like that gazes into your eyes, maybe first there's a sense of self-consciousness, sense of the congealing of your sense of self. But just stay. Let them keep gazing into your eyes. And maybe in the mirror of the other, we come to be moved by our goodness. Maybe we actually sense in their gaze love that's not based on anything. It's just love. And take that love in right now. Right now. maybe feels natural to silently whisper in your own mind a kind of blessing. Not so much a kind of way of praying for some future, but a way of touching into the heart right now. We offer ourselves the blessing. May I be happy. May I be safe, protected. And be at peace. Pay some attention to your heart center. The vibratory sensations. A sense of that kind of radiating, glowing. And we ring the bell of love. And then we just listen to the reverberations in our body, whatever they are. We offer ourselves blessings. We ring the bell. And we just listen, not intent on hearing one sound or another. Maybe it feels like love. Maybe it feels like grief. Maybe it's silent. Silently, inwardly. We bless ourselves. May I be happy. And be safe, protected. And be at peace. And sometimes, of course, the phrases, the practice, the images of love draw, like a magnet drawn what is not love to the surface. But there is only love and what has not yet been loved. In this practice, you're never asked to pretend, not even for a moment. The more deeply we look, the more reason we have to love. Love uninformed by grief is a naive love. But this love knows that life, that all things, always slipping through our fingers. But that understanding makes love more, not less urgent. Gamble everything for love, Rumi says. Half-heartedness doesn't reach into the majesty. You set out to find God, but then you keep stopping for long periods at mean-spirited roadhouses. Don't wait any longer. Dive into the ocean. Leave and let the sea be you. Silent. Absent. Walking an empty road, all praise.